This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. I never understood what that really means. I mean, I used to work an 8-to-6 when I had, you know, a real job.
It was the standard time for people to be working.
Oh, thank you. That's Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton, Sports Machine, Sean Levine, taking you up another hour here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and all over the world on the radio.com app. When we sign off, Vern takes over. Vern's Hot Stove Show. In fact, he's got Daniel Lynch coming on at 6:05. So you're 1 hour and 5 minutes away from hearing Vern and Daniel Lynch right here on these same airwaves, 610 Sports Radio. Lord knows it's going to be better than me talking in this microphone. Coming up in a few minutes, I've got 3 keys to the Royals' success in 2021. Before we get there, before we get to the hits, can somebody fill me in on what's going on? Because the last few hours, I've been, you know, preparing for a radio show and then talking with these jabronis, and I checked Twitter, which I honestly don't do as often as I should. What did Coward say now? What happened? Because our own boss, Steven Spector, they're throwing haymakers at each other. So this is from our own account an hour ago. 610 Sports, Casey, I know those guys. Evidently, Colin Coward can't be bothered with riling up sports fans from smaller markets. We just don't matter enough. Okay. So that's what the tweet says. Again, I don't know what Colin said. He must have said something to piss off. I mean, honestly, he pisses me off. He must have said something to rile up, because this is Spec's retort. Spec says back, all right, if we don't matter, we can just take you off the air, Casey. It takes me one click of the mouse. Bro, okay.
Well, people in Cleveland are upset with him, too, because he said people in Cleveland don't matter enough.
I don't know what he said. Somebody fill me in on the Jay Southland Toast Service text line, 913-576-7610. I'm not surprised that he said something, because that guy's drinking orange haterade when it comes to the Chiefs and, quite frankly, the city all the time. But wow, Spec said he'll just click the mouse and get out of here.
Right, say quick.
Right now, let's get to the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go!
Well, the biggest news story of the day is the maybe, kind of, sort of, we don't really know, trade request that Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson may have or may have not made. According to Adam Schefter, he indeed did not request a trade, but he did mention there were several teams he'd be very okay being traded to.
All right, stop.
So, Sean, knowing this information, I guess, are his days in Seattle limited?
That was good at the end there. I've never heard so many words before, though, to not say anything. Actually, Bill Belichick, he never says anything, but he says a lot of words. I don't think Russell Wilson in Seattle is quite the situation that Deshaun Watson is with Houston. So Deshaun Watson in Houston, it's been bad for a couple of years. He signed the contract because everybody would sign that contract. Somebody puts that much guaranteed money in front of your face and gives you a pen, you put the pen to paper. That's called being a human. And then you look back and you go, oh, damn it, why did I do that? My coach sucks. My GM sucks. My organization sucks. They trade away my boy DeAndre Hopkins. They brought in this bum David Johnson. What am I doing? I won out. And then earlier today, literally during the show, turns out that he's had a little conversation Deshaun has with his new head coach, David Coley, and it didn't go very well. Basically, Coley said, hey, man, we want you here. And Deshaun said, screw you. I don't want to be here. When that happens, it's just like any of us at our jobs. If you're that unhappy, then you're not going to work. It's just not going to work. So I think that the Houston Deshaun Watson marriage bank is, it's over with. They're just waiting to get the legal proceedings taken care of. But it's over with. There's a divorce and it's imminent. With Seattle and with Russell Wilson, I feel like it's probably heading down that path. And in the next couple of years, I could see him eventually finishing his career in a different uniform. But it doesn't feel quite as bad or imminent in Seattle as it does in Houston. Like, I can tell you this. There's at least a chance, a pretty good chance, that Russell Wilson's back with the Seahawks. I would be shocked at this point if Deshaun Watson's back with the Texans.
Well, he's got his guy DK Metcalf there. I mean, he's going to find DK right? Metcalfs anywhere. And Pete Carroll is a smart guy, and he's a winner, and he's not going to rebuild. And you look at that division, I think the cooler heads could prevail in Seattle. I will say this. Watson and Wilson will flip franchises around. You talk about a team bringing in Wilson and or Deshaun Watson. You're talking about teams that go from the middle of the pack or the bottom of the pack all of a sudden to the top of the pack with quarterbacks like that. You can win with those guys, and I think teams realize that. But, again, Houston makes more sense to get picks because they're a mess right now. They need them because they got to go a different direction because Deshaun's not coming there. But Seattle is not in the mode for this. They go out and get a new offensive coordinator, change things up a little bit, and as our guest said, they're not really unhappy.
Who's their backup?
With this offensive coordinator? It was Geno.
Okay, so what's their plan? I mean, if you're not going to get...
They have no plan at quarterback if they're not going to stay with Russell Wilson.
You don't get rid of Russell Wilson and not have a plan. Come on, that's ridiculous.
Two Super Bowls, he's won one. Probably should have won two had they given the bowl to Marshawn
Lynch. Unless
you're
getting back to Deshaun Watson in a straight-up trade, which I don't know if the money, the parameters, the years, the guarantees would work out, or the age, or any of that stuff. I actually do think that they're pretty similar with how much they would help their football teams at this point in their career. Like, if you're talking about I could have one of those guys for the next 5 or 8 years, I'm taking Deshaun Watson. He's significantly younger. But if you're saying for the next 3 years, the money's the same, am I onto something here?
I just don't know how you can look at that division, look at the other quarterbacks that are there now that they moved to move.
What if it comes to this division? What if all that actually came to fruition? Deshaun ends up a Bronco, Russ ends up a Raider, Herbert's a Charger, and Mahomes is a Chief?
Well, if for some reason Deshaun did end up Denver, which down in Houston they say there's no way there's a possibility, and Denver they say, there might be a possibility. Right? He is the biggest favorite to go to Denver. If that happens, look for a full court press from the Raiders for Wilson. Because you don't want to play Mahomes, Watson, and Herbert and have almost 40% of your schedule those three quarterbacks. You got to do something in Allegiant.
That would be...
In the Death Star.
That would be insane if that actually came to fruition. Again, it's not going to. I think that there's a chance Deshaun Watson ends up in the division outside shot. Russell Wilson ain't going anywhere.
They're going to have to start opening their phone lines in Houston because they're not even taking calls right now.
Well, as you guys were mentioning in quarterback drama, according to Dan Graziano, as you mentioned, Deshaun Watson, the Texans coach David Culley, have in fact met. But in that meeting, Deshaun Watson told Culley and the Texans, "I remain vigilant. I will not be playing for you." So he is dug in. The Texans have seemed dug in. They are not taking phone calls on their star quarterback. So, Bink, my question to you, will the stalemate continue into this season, or will Deshaun Watson actually be moved?
He'll be moved. It'll probably be like a week before the draft type of deal. Didn't Deshaun also tweet himself something about loyalty? Like, he's pissed.
He tweets about loyalty earlier today.
Yeah, he's pissed. He's very pissed. And, yeah, it's what a mess. But I do believe it gets done before the draft. It's gonna
Can you imagine screwing it up?
And
that
they need
bad?
Picks bad.
We always had the conversation: what if the Chiefs would have taken Deshaun Watson? What if Patrick Mahomes ended up with the Houston Texans? I'd say it's fun to think about, but it's really not. I don't really like thinking about Patrick Mahomes in any uniform except for in Kansas City. And that's not to say that I don't think Deshaun Watson with Andy Reid and all these weapons wouldn't have been great. I do think that he would have been. But we're talking about the same draft, like.
And they could have ended up there.
In the grand scheme of things, now that the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes under contract for another 11 seasons, it kind of feels like we're at the beginning of this thing still, right? Like, I know that now Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback for 3 full seasons. He's been on the team for 4. It's been a hell of a ride. MVP, Super Bowls, all these different things. But it feels like it's still pretty new for the most part. And the Chiefs have done as good of a job as they possibly could in making Patrick Mahomes happy. Whether it's the way we talk about him, whether it's the money they gave him, whether it's the weapons they gave him, whether it's the chemistry on the offensive side, whether it's the coach that he has, the Texans and Deshaun Watson did the exact opposite. I mean, they came out of the same draft. They called Deshaun Watson's name 20 minutes after they called Patrick Mahomes' name, real time. And the Chiefs are in the best quarterback scenario in the NFL and should be for the next decade. And you could argue the Texans, who again called Deshaun's name 20 minutes later, might be in the worst quarterback situation in the entire NFL. Because, yeah, they've got this guy technically on their team under contract, But if that guy doesn't want to be there, then what do you really have? They're screwed, man. The Texans are absolutely screwed.
The fact they let this get to this point is insane. You're talking about one of the guys, the top five in the planet at what he does.
Top five and 25 years old under contract.
Yeah, in the planet, because there's nobody else.
I mean, they couldn't have screwed it up any worse. I think right now, of all the organizations in the NFL, Cleveland's on the come up. The Jets have a high draft pick. Jacksonville's got the number one overall pick. Well, Detroit's still Detroit, if I'm going to be honest.
Detroit is still Detroit.
Houston is the worst organization right now in the NFL, and Houston is also the worst sports city to live in the country.
I mean, the Washington football team is laughing.
Can you imagine living in Houston right now, and your basketball team 2 years ago was in the conference finals with James Harden, and now they suck? Can you imagine your football team had won the division back-to-back years, and now Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and the coach are gone 2 years later? The Astros won the damn World Series, and the next year everybody hates on them because their whole cheating scandal. Bro, Houston sucks. Houston sucks.
Three. Does Coward like him still?
Probably.
Well, it's officially official. The Kansas Jayhawks have announced they will add a game against the UTEP Miners on March 6th. Meanwhile, Missouri has announced they will add a game, or I guess make up a game, against LSU on the same date. But Sean, you're a KU guy, so my question to you is this. Why would KU add a game that does not benefit their seeding and can only harm their NCAA standing?
So that's exactly what happened in North Carolina last night. North Carolina played Marquette. Random ass game. They scheduled Marquette 4 days ago because they realized that both teams had a blank spot on their schedule, and then they lost. And now Carolina, I mean, KU's in a much better spot than Carolina. I would say Carolina, of the blue bloods, Kentucky ain't making the tournament. Duke is very much on the fringe. Carolina's probably going to end up in, but last night's loss hurts. KU, no matter what happens against UTEP, win, lose, or draw, they're going to end up in the NCAA tournament. I get your point, though, Rob. Like, what good could come of it? If they beat UTEP 94-51, that's kind of what you're supposed to do. Well, let me back up. Not this team. They ain't putting up 94. If you go out there and beat UTEP and you're KU, that's what's supposed to happen. If they beat you, it's bad news. By the way, you said MU also added to their schedule. So
it's a makeup, but a game got added, yes. Same day.
Why didn't they just do what everybody wants to do? Everybody listening right now? Why didn't MU just say, listen, with all due respect to the SEC and Vanderbilt and LSU and the great programs that you guys have been historically, we're going to play Kansas. I'm sorry. We were supposed to play them earlier this year. Sprint Center's got to be available. There's nothing going on, right?
No. It's not even the Sprint Center.
Oh, yeah. T-Mobile, whatever they call that place. Sandstone Amphitheater, whatever. I don't care where they play. But let's get it done. What's the matter with y'all? UTEP? Oh, great. Now KU plays UTEP and MU plays, I forgot what you said already. LSU?
LSU.
Sweet.
At least that's conference.
Yeah. Four.
Well, earlier today, Jay, you gave us the ways you think the Chiefs could fix their roster by addressing their biggest needs. Now, for those who weren't listening in the 2 o'clock hour, real quick, Jay, give us the ways the Chiefs could improve their roster this offseason.
Hammering the offensive line, maybe the first pick, maybe the first two picks, because they're going to end up with 8 picks in this draft once the comp picks.
If you got that many picks, just trade up, package a couple of them together, and move up in the first round and get this guy you're talking about.
Well, they could. They're going to end up with 8 picks this year. They have 6 right now, but once the comp picks are signed, they'll have 8 picks. That edge rusher, when you get to the second round, it's questionable, but it is extremely deep at edge and offensive. The good news is the positions the Chiefs need is very deep with wide receiver, the offensive line, and the edge rusher. I expect them to hammer those positions in the top, but the offensive line is a number one for this team. I like the interior part of this line. It's the edges that I'm concerned about, but I was good news with Mitch Schwartz getting the surgery and then tweeting about it because we finally found the mystery. What's wrong with Mitch Schwartz? He wants to play again. Can you doubt the guy that made all the
spinal?
Spinal.
My back is broken.
And it's, again, not going to play doctor. I have no idea. You can either come back from this or you can't.
I'd like to see all those guys come back in some form or fashion. Bring the doctor back. Bring back Mitchell Schwartz. Bring back Eric Fisher.
Doctor's working out in the snow. You
know? I mean, bring back all these different guys and then draft a couple of guys and piece work it together. And it's going to be better than it was in the Super Bowl. So those were Bink's keys to the Chiefs offseason. I got 3 keys to the Royal season if they're going to be successful. So I think that there's a couple of things that they need to do. And first of all, and we'll hear from Whit Merrifield here in just a second, I think that this team, guys, has to get off to a hot start. And I'm not saying that they have to get off to the Tony Pena, we believe, year with Ken Harvey and Mike McDougal and that squad where they got off to, what were they, like 13-3 or 16-2, whatever it was. I'm not saying that because nobody expects that to happen. But they also can't get off to a start like they did in the shortened offseason or whatever you want to call whatever last year was, where you look up in a couple of weeks and let's call it what it is. They're already out of it. They might as well become sellers. Like, they're not going anywhere. As long as this team keeps their head above water for the first couple of weeks, I think it's really important just for confidence purposes, because it's going to be a really long summer where there's a chance that the Royals start siphoning off pieces, whether it's Whit Merrifield when they start calling for him, or Danny Duffy or Jorge Soler, whoever they come calling for. I would just like that process to be delayed as long as possible. I'm not saying this team has to make the playoffs or win 85 games. I just want it to be fun and entertaining. I don't want them to be out of it before they've got a chance to be in it, Jay. So to me, the biggest key for this team is to get off to not a horrible start. Is that asking too much?
No, it's not. Partly that September. They all had a good September. Matheny's been talking about the September they had. The players talking about the September they had. 12-13, they were looking real good as far as the end of the year. But again, it's a new season. But they've been active. And there's a certain buzz around this team. I really like it. I like their attitude. I like the fact they think they can win here. I like the mix of veterans with the younger players. This team has the makings, the mix of a team that can win early.
So you say expectations and you say veteran.
Here's the players all think it too. They expect this team to win. This team, John Sherman expects this team to win. He wouldn't spend the money if he wasn't expecting this team to win. Dayton Moore doesn't make these moves. They're not expecting. Bringing back Minor, getting Carlos Santana, doing these type of things if you don't expect to win.
But does Whit Merrifield expect to win right now?
We expect to compete in our division, have a chance to win it, and we expect to be playing in the fall.
Okay. Playing in the fall? Did you mean the playoffs? That one, I'm not good with seasons, Rob. That's the playoffs, right? Fall? Fall
he
Classic.
He said playing in the fall.
Okay.
If they finish up in October.
If I'm Whit, that's exactly what I would say. I don't know if I believe myself. But that's exactly what I would say. And frankly, that's where your expectation should be. Because if you're Whit, man, your timing was terrible. Life, sports, it's all about timing, right? I think you've realized that at this point. It all comes down to timing.
It's not like you're 26 and get a Jason Hayward type contract.
Well, I'm just saying, his timing has been about as bad as possible. So the Royals kept in the minors a little bit too long. They had Omar Infante, second baseman. They were just begging for somebody. They went out there and they got Ben Zobrist, who at the time, or for a while, we were calling Whit Merrifield a poor man's Ben Zobrist. They finally bring up Whit Merrifield. The team is okay. Then they suck pretty much the entire time that he's been here. Whit would have fit in that team perfectly if you think about it. He was not only a good hitter, a professional at bat every single time, great in the clubhouse, another one of those guys you want to bring home to mom. Like, you don't think that he would fit in with Moose and Haas and Kane and Eske and all those dudes? He would have fit in absolutely perfect. But unfortunately, instead of bringing him up to get a couple of bats in the World Series, the Royals bring up some guy named Adalberto Mondesi, who was like 13 at the time, just had his bar mitzvah. I made all that part up, but I thought it was funny. And then they bring up Whit the next year, and the team sucks. And now Whit's saying, well, we need to overachieve. We need to be held to a certain standard. We need to make the playoffs. I'm not surprised that's what he's saying. That is what he should be saying. I just don't know if I necessarily believe that.
It's the mindset of the team. I mean, you look at this team on paper, and you look at 3, 4, and 5. With Carlos Santana and Jorge Soler and Salvador Perez and the way that Perez played last year, this team's ready. The offensively,
he ain't hitting 333 again.
No, probably not hitting 333 again. But this team is probably, look at this order. I would like to see if Mondesi, I would like to see him work his way up from, he's probably getting bad about seventh. I'd like to see that second. To have Whit and him leading off before the 3, 4, and 5 hitters would make this team pretty salty. And Dozier, whether you can get a repeat from him a couple years ago. This team has some definite potential, and the arms on this team are just unlimited, how good the arms can be in Kansas City. But I think there should be optimism. Again, there seems to be, they've used the word buzz. Vern's brought up the word buzz. I think he got Matheny started saying buzz, but Matheny's brought it up a couple times. The players have brought up the word buzz, and it certainly feels like that. This team, even Carlos Santana, he's talking yesterday, he really liked that energy the 14 and 15 Royals team portrayed, because he saw it from the other dugout about the energy this team had, the close this team was. It's very similar to that. I get the same feel from this team, from that team, maybe the Royals in 13, the team that went all the way to the White Sox at the end of the year before not making the playoffs. Because they weren't officially eliminated until the final series.
Buzz is the word, huh?
Buzz.
Okay. Have I told you about the buzz that I caught at the Up and Smoke Tour in 2001?
No.
Yeah, no, I was
you
there.
You talked about that.
Eminem and Dr. Dre and Snoop and the whole crew was there. So, yeah, I think that's the first key, is that they can't get off to a hot start. Number two, they have to get off to a hot start, and expectations, at least internally, are high, which I appreciate. The second thing, and Vink, this is where I need you and Rob to help out, not just me, quite frankly, but I think a lot of people listening. When you hear the names of all these different pitchers, now when you hear the name Brady Singer, Last year, you were probably like, hey, that's that kid from Florida, right? Well, now you got a chance to actually see him pitch. So now you know what Brady Singer is. Same thing with Bubich. He was like, what's his name? Bubich? Well, now you actually know what he can do on the mound. You got a chance to actually see him. I ain't going to lie, man. All these other guys kind of blend together. We always talk about them like, well, the Royals are going to bring up this wave of pitchers. There's Lynch and there's Lacy and there's Coar and there's all these different guys. So look, can we separate them here for a second? Can we start first? Tell me everything you know in the next 30 to 60 seconds about Daniel Lynch. Bink, go.
Could hit 100 from the left-hand side of the plate. He is a guy that took a little bit of development, wasn't quite ready. The minor league system, I do think, held him back. But his potential, especially when you're left-handed throwing that with that velocity, even a guy like Sal Perez, that's the endorsement I need. It's just like when these former players like Chris Harris was singing the praises of Tyreek Hill at home. That means a lot when it's there. When it's a player saying these things.
Rob, can he throw strikes? Because you're talking about he throws 100 miles an hour from the left side, and he's striking out 12 guys per nine. What's the problem?
He's damn good.
He's young. I mean, I actually have this quote. Alec Lewis, The Athletic, who covers the Royals, tweeted this earlier, who's down in surprise. He asked a coach who saw Daniel Lynch's live BP today and asked him what he saw from Lynch. Quote he got back, lights out performance. Okay. The way they speak about Daniel Lynch, they being the Royals, they do not make it sound like, you know, one day he'll be up. We think he can, you know, develop and then, you know, maybe contribute to the big league club. They speak about him like he is going to be a star. And I am all in on the Daniel Lynch Express. I've said it earlier today. I don't think I'd be shocked to see him break camp with the Royals. It'd be a little surprising because of club control and you lose that, you know, with the May rule when it's a hanky stuff where you get extra year club control. But the way they talk about him, and if he looks as good as people say he looks, I don't know you can keep him off the big league club in April.
Does baseball have a higher impression on the upside of Lynch or Lacy?
Probably Lynch because they've seen him against other, I know it's minor leaguers, but other professionals.
Lacy's ranked high, like, 25th,
26. I think it's more because he's closer to the bigs, right? Yeah. Like, he's more ready to go.
No, part of the allure of these prospect lists is like if you ever have like a quote failure or get dinged for anything, they bump you down the list. It is what it is. Remember before Hosmer came up, he plummeted down to like 22 in these rankings.
Yeah, but Lynch is 25th in Major League Baseball. He's 26th in Fangraphs, and Daniel Lynch is 56 and 62 respectively.
It's because he's been in the system for 3 years, and they think why isn't he up yet? That's kind of what happens here. I think Asa Lacy's probably a year away, only because he didn't really have a true college season last year and had no minor league season. You got to see a little something against actual professional hitters before you say, all right, it's time to shine. But there's a lot of hype around him, too.
That does kind of suck. That, like, not having a minor league season last year, a lot of people didn't talk about because a lot of people don't really watch minor league baseball, and they were just dealing with not having major league baseball for a large part of that whole COVID year. Although the Royals, it feels like, are a team that was probably hit the hardest with no minor league ball because they had all these guys, and it's not like they were position players or anything like that. They were pitchers, and there's four or five of them that really could have used last year to be ready for this year.
Dave Moore addressed that the other day.
And now here we are with this year, and we're talking about can they be ready for next year. So I do think that the Royals got set back with the whole COVID thing. Although here's the good news.
Everybody did.
I can't ever remember, and I'm sure it's happened. I can't ever remember an organization that had this many logs on the fire. And I'm not talking about the Royals back in the day. So Dayton Moore got here, right? Everything sucked. The big league team sucked. The minor league sucked. It was a bad situation. And then he built up the minor leagues for like a 3 or 4 year period. Baseball regarded them as the best minor league organization in all of baseball. Let's just call it what it is. It sure as hell wasn't because of the pitching. That wave included Danny Duffy, your Donovan Ventura, and a couple of those guys in the bullpen.
But they did give up five pitchers, though, for Cueto and Zobrist.
Absolutely. But those guys didn't ever have a chance to develop. None of those guys.
Shamanai was the best one.
None of those guys were really close to having success at the big league level here in Kansas City. Like, those guys were all basically projects that they traded away in both the Cueto and the Zobrist deal. The reason I bring it up is they're building this team different. This team's got all arms. Like, yeah, there's a couple of guys that you can talk about in the outfield and Bobby Witt Jr. and those type of guys. But by and large, if you look at the best prospects and the closest prospects to the big league level that the Royals have, it's all pitchers. It's all these guys that we're talking about. So that's my second key. The first one is don't get off to an awful start. The second one is of all these guys, I just want to see them. I want to see what they can actually do. I'm sick of talking about them as a figment of my imagination, what they could be, watching YouTube highlights, having Rob have somehow all this damn information on a guy that I've only seen five pitches of. I want to see him in a Royals uniform, and I want to see those guys in a Royals uniform sooner rather than later. Now, I don't want to screw up any sort of big league time or anything like that. Don't rush him up. But if you're talking about not this year, but at the beginning of next year, the rotation is Keller, Singer, Bubich, Lacey, Lynch, and somebody else. Awesome. That's what I'm talking about, right? I see you smiling ear to ear. That gets you excited. That's what I'm talking about.
I think they actually have trade capital with the pitching
staff.
That's
the thing. Let's say one or two of these guys work out. Now you got one or two guys that maybe you could trade away or move to your bullpen. Like, I know it's really early in the process, and I'm not trying to sound like Hope Harrison because I don't even think Hope Harrison believes in Hope Harrison. But with all these pitchers, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic. And then the third thing. And
by the way, real quick, we also didn't mention Jonathan Bolin or Carlos Hernandez, who are two guys the Royals have belief in as well.
Top 10 prospect. Bolin and
Austin Cox, too, who they drafted last season. I think the, what, third round?
Alec Marsh.
Yeah, they got guys.
This is crazy. I mean, there's never – I'd be willing to say that there's never been a team that had this many pitchers that are this close to the big leagues at the same time. Bro, I listed four. Robbie listed another four. And Jay listed three guys I never heard of. That's 11. That's a lot of arms.
Well, Dave Morris' goal was to rebuild this minor league system, and that 2018 draft class is going to be looked upon. Well, it's his best draft class he's had. No question.
All right. Then my last key, and we don't need to talk about this too much because we talk about this all the time, it's Mondesi. Just go. I don't even care if his final numbers are 30 home runs and 120 RBI, and he steals 60 bases, and he's the league MVP. That'd be great. All I really care about is how many games does he play? Because every year it's, Mondesi's finally starting to do this. He's hurt. Mondesi's starting to suck. They should sit him. How about he just goes out there and plays? Because if he does, by the end of the year, I'm telling you right now, Jay, the numbers are going to be just fine. Now, it's going to be frustrating because there's a chance he comes out the gates and for the first month we're saying, hey, he's hitting 400. He's already got 10 home runs. And then he starts to lead the league in strikeouts next month and we're talking about sending him back to the minors if he's got anything left. And then we're talking about he's playing like an MVP again. All I'm saying is as long as he stays healthy and plays like a $115, a $120, 130 games, dream with me here. I think that's a big key for this baseball team.
I think he's the whole key for this team. I mean, talent-wise, Rob, you'd agree with this. Talent-wise, he is the most talented player on the roster. The 5-tool guy that they have, he can steal bases out of – and Ned Yost, I remember a couple years ago when I was doing the Royals stuff and talking to Ned, he was like, I think he can be a 60-70 stolen base guy. That's not crazy to think because last year he led it by 8 stolen bases. The year before, he played 30 less games than Malik Smith and came up just 4 stolen bases short for the Major League lead. And not only that, but the year before, like in 18, his home run distance was further than anybody else's. I mean, the guy can do a lot of different stuff if he can put it all together. He is the biggest question mark, the biggest frustration for the Kansas City Royals.
It's so weird.
I had somebody tell me he could bat third, fourth, fifth, you name it, he could bat anywhere.
Yeah, 12th. The problem is that when he's good, he's so good that we get ourselves really excited. And then when he's bad, there's kind of two schools of thought. There's me, which is just jump off the ship. It's over with. Or it's hang on, be patient because we've seen the good. And that just pisses me off too. Is it asking too much for a guy that now this will be his sixth season in the major leagues to go out there and,
Keller's age, play? Same birthday. Like Keller's taking that turn, take the turn.
Is that asking so much? That's Binkley. That's Brennan on the Sports Machine. At the end of the show, as always, we'll get you a mind of the machine. But you know what? You got anything you want to know from Binkley? Ask Binkley anything. Text us right now. Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Whether it's barbecue or baseball or booze. Or anything. He knows it all. 913-576-7610. We'll do an Ask Us Anything with Binkley. We'll do some other fun stuff. We'll probably talk some sports. Then we'll get the hell out of here. It's a drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. Have no fear. I am the sports machine. That's Jay Binkley, Rob Brenton. We're taking you up until 6 o'clock. Then we turn over the mic to Vern. It's Vern's hot stove. We've been talking a lot about Daniel Lynch today. He's actually going to sit down and talk with Josh Vernier coming up at 6:05. So I will definitely be tuned into that on my drive home when I sign off. I can't wait to hear from Daniel Lynch. We've been talking so much about him. I want to hear what the dude has to say. So it's Jay Binkley's time to shine here coming up in just a couple of minutes. You can ask Bink anything. Hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. Earlier today, we did the best of Bink. For those that weren't listening, let's just go ahead and fly through this real quick. So Bink knows a few things. Literally, Bink only knows a few things. One of those things happens to be food in Kansas City. So real quick, we went over this. Jay's favorites. For those who weren't listening, what's your favorite fried chicken in Kansas City?
It was Stroud's.
Okay, it should have been Gus's, but we will accept Stroud's.
I've had Gus's.
What was your favorite burger in
Tay's
Kansas City?
Tay's Burger Shack.
Tay's. I think we all agree. Tay's is absolutely phenomenal. Best ribs in Kansas City.
I want Smokehouse on the ribs. Been doing it for a couple days.
How may I help you? I'll take the dry rub ribs at Gates. Best pizza in the city.
Went on Shunny Pizza.
OSP's
the cheeseburger. The cheeseburger.
Love OSP. Yeah. Love Will. I don't know if it's as good as Italian Delight, but that's just one man's thoughts. Wings, best wings in town.
Al's in the Northland.
I agree with you there. I actually watched a Buffalo game there in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Yeah,
Al's always sitting at the bar, too. You can go say hi to him. He's from Buffalo, you know? You get the Buffalo Bills mural. It's where the Bills Mafia hangs out whenever they're in town.
What does Al like more? Is it wings or is it booze? Because when I was there, Al liked the booze.
Go with the wings and the booze.
He like a da booze.
Wings with your booze, yes.
I like a da booze. All right. What if you're just looking for a cheap beer in Kansas City? Where are you headed?
Natty Lights. Okay. Like that.
All right, that's fine.
Just doing any kind of bar special that does like, you can't even find the bar specials like back in college, you know, you get 50 cent draws.
Well, yeah, I went to the Hawk on Wednesday nights and it was dollar beer night, bro.
You can't find that in Kansas City. You can't.
The Hawk, what a cesspool. What about best tacos in the city? San Antonio's?
I'm with Rancho Grande for that.
El Patron? Okay. Where'd you go with?
Rancho Grande.
Come again? All right.
It's right next to Al's. It's a great complex.
Okay, you went way too much Northland on that whole
that
thing.
That is. He's right
I know
next
you love
to Al's,
Parkville.
Man. There's a couple locations, but it's in the same thing as Al's.
Give me some beats, Rob. Ask Bink anything. 913-576-7610. Binkley, this comes from the 913. What are your thoughts on Natty Daddies?
If you're talking about Natural Light, that's what I kind of cut my teeth on, so...
You grew up on those things?
I don't drink any of the seltzers or anything else they have.
I've been drinking Natty Light since I was 4 years old.
Pretty much.
No, it can't be 4 years old. What'd you tell us earlier the most you ever drank in one setting?
33.
33. Natty Lights?
Yes, it was Natty Light on tap.
That's incredible. First of all, who has Natty Light on tap?
It was a strip bar, Sean.
Okay. You want to give us more details?
No.
Okay.
Actually, the kids that were not 21 had to sit on the curb. And go play putt-putt. I'm not kidding you.
Hold on.
Put that energy drink. Went in.
Put the energy drink down.
It was in college. And
tell us the story.
A couple of guys were old enough to go into the club, the ballet, and a few weren't. So the ones that weren't had to go play putt-putt and go sit on the curb until we were done having our fun.
What type of facility has a putt-putt course in the strip club on the inside of it?
It was at the Ozarks.
Oh, I've been there. I think I'm dead honest. I think I've been there.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah. They had to go play putt-putt. You
get a hole in
not
one,
enough to
if
go
you know
there.
What
yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Da-da-nch.
Yeah, that's all you can drink. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my goodness. From the 816, Bink, do you like in-the-tub tacos?
Absolutely love in-the-tub tacos.
Have you had those,
Their
Rob?
Menu's insane.
Have you ever been in a tub?
No.
All the
Northland people rave about it, so I want to try it sometime just to have
it. If you're ever driving around with Carrington and it feels like he's taking you off the beaten path, but he won't tell you where you're going, he's about to take you to in a tub. Don't let him.
No, 100% go. You have to go. If you live in the city, you got to go.
I want to try it to have had it. I don't know if I'll like it. I just don't know.
Why?
You will like it. You will love it.
It's one of those deals where it's like, you know, everyone talks about it, might as well give it a shot. It's like,
if you know it's going to suck, why don't you just drink a sip of gun oil? You're not going to like it.
A lot of people rave about it.
But they have an expansive menu. It's not just tacos.
And it's one of those deals like, last time Bink said this much about something good, he led me to Tay's, and Tay's was amazing. So
Tay's is amazing.
I have to believe Bink for now.
How did you not know about Tay's before? That's on you.
Mahomes, I'm not a Northland guy.
Mahomes worked out pretty well, too, you know.
Oh, good for you, Jay. Yeah, good for you.
I wasn't here when you were giving the Mahomes speech.
He liked him. Trust me. From the 816, Bink, who leads the team in home runs, Soler, Santana, or the field?
Soler. Soler will lead the team. Santana's good for around 30, 31, something like that. Soler's a 40-bomb-plus guy. Soler's going to lead this team.
Binkley, what's the best breakfast burrito?
I kind of like, you know what, this sounds weird, but there's a place in Parkville.
Oh, shocker.
Well, at a gas station.
Who knew?
All right.
Okay.
From the 913.
Champions Burritos.
Let's get out of Parkville. No, that place that we were talking about the other day, Rob, where you and CDOT just berated me because I said it wasn't that good of food. Ponchos.
Ponex?
I've had theirs.
No, Ponchos.
Yes, yes. Wachowski's the king of those.
Okay. That tells me to stay away.
Wachowski takes 10 minutes to eat food in those videos he does online. It's infuriating.
Wachowski's one of the slowest eaters I've ever met, but he eats a lot. It just takes the taste. It's marathon
eating. Being a good eater is not about how fast, it's about how much of your plate you
eat. He's a marathon.
And Ryan Wachowski is a very good eater.
I'm a sprinter. He's a marathon.
He is a very good eater.
He is.
He's not Joey Chestnut. He doesn't like Ralph it down like some people I'm sitting in the room with right
now. Nobody
is. Bink. Who are the guys the Chiefs should trade up for in the draft if they're to trade up in the first round?
Man, unless they're just totally enamored by Russo, the pass rusher from Miami, that's a trade up. If I'm the Chiefs, I sit where you're at. You have 8 picks now. They're going to need them all with the salary cap dropping in the contracts you paid, as cash strapped as they are. Going to need all the picks you can. I wouldn't exactly recommend trading up in this draft much.
From the 913, I'd like Bink's thoughts on Wilson. I'm not sure if they're talking about Russell Wilson, Willie Wilson, or Wilson the volleyball.
Or Damian Wilson. I think Damian Wilson's gone.
What about Zach Wilson?
Just give us your thoughts on anybody that you choose named Wilson.
That volleyball was kind of cool.
Mr. Wilson, if you want. Mr. Wilson, from Dennis the Menace.
Yeah, okay.
I saw someone compare Zach Wilson to Patrick Mahomes. What a time to be alive.
Remember when Wilson used to make all the jerseys?
Yeah.
In the NFL?
I think that was just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Bank. Are we sure that LDT is still good at football? That came from the 913.
I guess he is. I mean, if the guy can get a medical degree, can he still get a football?
This is a good one.
Hey, he's out there working out in the snow, man.
This is a good one. Hey, Pink from the 816. How is Rob so athletic looking but not athletic at all? Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
You know, that's a great question. I had Rob as kind of the odds-on favorite for
I
this.
I don't want to hear anything
Everybody
from the opt-out
did.
Machine.
You know my back was messed up.
Opt-out machine.
You know damn well
he
my back
Opt-out-ski
was messed up.
He and Opt-Owski are out here talking big game.
Opt-Owski. That's pretty good. Big, what's the most underrated barbecue spot in the city?
There's a place, and this is out south.
Somebody said Wilson Home Improvement. Good call.
Brobex.
Oh, Brobex, yeah.
Brobex is really good, yeah.
It's in like a little strip mall.
Terrible location. It's impossible to find.
Like championship barbecue and all that. Although Jousting Pigs is good. It's in a brewery in Liberty, Three Halves. It's called Jousting Pigs.
Pigs?
It was a brewery that was going to own a building and a barbecue place, and they came together. And they just handled the barbecue, and they just handled the beer.
What a beautiful story you just told.
It's a tremendous place.
Does Slaps count as an under the radar? Because Slaps is the answer.
No, everybody loves Slaps.
I was curious on what the radar is.
From the 847, Chicago, Chi-Town in the house. Binkley, is chili a soup? You're the perfect guy to ask this question to.
It's not a soup, especially when you do it like I do at Fritos. And today's National Chili Day, speaking of that. Nice job. It's National Chili Day.
Good job, Chicago.
Onions, some shredded cheese.
Yo, Binkley's been bitching about how hungry he was since 2:15.
I know, I'm very hungry because you had me do this list, man.
You should see him. He's literally drooling down the side of his face.
Can you
disgusting.
Cook chili, or is it one of those deals where you go get it?
Oh,
you don't get canned chili, do you?
Dude, I'm a huge. Yeah, I'll even go to Wendy's and get chili.
Wendy's chili is fine.
I can't make anything.
Wendy's chili is fine.
I literally can't. I tried to during the pandemic. I said, okay, you know, we try to cook.
Canned chili is
forget about it. Hormel
canned chili, bro.
Wabash and Excelsior on here. That's a very good place in the train station. Very good place. Very underrated.
In the train station?
Yeah, it's in the old train station, Excelsior, Wabash Barbecue.
Never been there.
It's my stomping grounds, man.
The only restaurant that I've ate in a train station is the one that's in Union Station, right in the middle there.
Fritz's.
No, that's at Crown Center.
That's Crown Center, right.
But the train does bring there. Your food.
Yeah, I'm like.
Yeah, and you know what? If you're
does
like,
that count?
I mean, if you're like in your 40s right now and you're listening to Rob and you're like, what's he talking about? That's for kids. Shut up. You don't like your food being delivered by a train?
Yeah.
You'd rather have somebody like Jay bringing your food than a train?
I've been to Fritz's many, many times with my kids.
Do you wear... Have you been without your kids, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Would you be willing to go with a little engineer hat?
Yeah.
Of course I get that.
And of course we'd be wearing the hats.
Yeah, absolutely. I still do.
That's like going to Burger King and not wearing the Burger King crown.
You have to.
Oh, you're so cool. No, you're not. You're actually not if you don't
wear
the crown.
You gotta wear the engineer cap.
You D-bag. All right. Cut my music. I know this is going to piss people off. We did this earlier today, and Rob absolutely crushed me. So I did my list yesterday of the 10 best players to ever wear the Royals uniform, with the criteria being pretty simple. You had to be on the team for at least 2 years. That's it. So if you're Ben Zobrist, then sorry, you don't meet the criteria. So today I did my top 10 best Royals pitchers, and there was one that Rob had a huge issue with. Now, to be fair, I thought that I had 10 people on this list, and since I'm not very good at counting, I realized that I only had 9. So right now I'm going to add one. At number 10, let's go with Gooby. Gooby, let's go with Gooby at number 10. At number 9, Monty. From Gooby to Monty, Jeff Montgomery. At number 8, Dan Quisenberry. At number 7, waiter, check please, Wade Davis. At number 6, Dennis Leonard. Dennis Leonard had 23 shutouts. And how many complete games did you tell me that guy had?
Close to 103.
100 complete Reed's games. Royals. My Reed's goodness gracious. Kevin Apier. Paul Spittorf. Zach Greinke. At number 2, and this is where Rob just absolutely lost it earlier today, David Cone. And at number 1, Brett Saberhagen. 64 complete games, World Series champion, Rookie of the Year, 2-time Cy Young champion, which, speaking of the Cy Young, Rob, pretty important award for pitchers, right? Goes to tell you if they're, you know, elite. Well, David Cone, when he was in Kansas City, won a Cy Young. Why don't you tell everybody why you hate David Cone so much?
I don't hate David Cone. He's not one of the top 3 Royals pitchers of all time. He's not one of the top 10 Royals pitchers of all time. And by the way, that 94 season won the Cy Young, you know how many categories he led baseball in pitching? None. Zero. Do you know where they played that year? Truncated season. It was the strike season. David Cone is not one of the top 10 Royals pitchers of all time. He's a fine individual. He had a fine major league career. I'm not hating on David Cone, the man, but to say he's top 10 Royals pitcher of all time is absolute lunacy.
But he did win the Cy Young, right?
He did.
And he did throw a perfect game, right?
I don't know about that one. That one's not listed on his splits.
He 1,000% threw a perfect game, Rob. Come
on,
man.
That wasn't in Kansas City, though.
I don't care. You heard the criteria. You got to play here for 2 years.
But you get to carry over the victories from somewhere else?
Yes.
Then Johnny Cueto won it through a no-hitter. Look, he threw a no-hitter. He did it.
You can't be that
dumb. Kevin Apier threw a no-hitter. Congrats. He did it in Oakland. He gets the win.
Okay.
David Cone didn't do it in Kansas City. He did it for the Yankees. Why does he get credit for being a Royal when he did it with the Yankees?
You cannot be this dumb. There's criteria, which I set up. It was very simple.
But he didn't do that thing in the Royals uniform.
Did he play for the Royals for more than 2 years?
Yes.
Okay. Did Johnny Cueto?
No.
Okay, well, then what the hell are you talking about?
You said David Cone threw a perfect game, so you should get credit for that. He didn't do it as a Royal.
Do you remember Mark
Davis? He did it as a Yankee.
Do you remember Mark Davis when he came here?
I mean, I don't remember when he came.
So Levine's list is a figment of my imagination.
It's
right?
Your list,
I do it every single day.
It's your list.
I get texts. I get Rob telling me that I'm not doing my
list
correctly.
Which is extremely difficult.
And I'm not even looking for credit for that. It's insane.
It's tough.
The list is this: these are the best career pitchers that played at least 2 years for the Royals. I don't care if you played 2 years, 10 years, or 100 years with the Royals. If you played here for 2 years, you can make this list. What's so difficult about understanding that?
I'm just saying 3 is wild. Absolutely wild.
Is it more than 2?
I'm not saying his years with the Royals. I'm saying having him at 3 overall, wild.
Hater in the house.
Absolutely insane to me.
All right, you're insane. Let's step inside a place that I know is always crazy because, frankly, well, I live there. Let's go inside the mind of the machine. So, do we really think that Russell Wilson's days in Seattle are limited?
You know, I'd like to think, man, it depends on where this thing goes. Because it depends on who you believe. Is there a rift? Is there not rift? Does he really want to get traded to other teams? He's so Seattle when you think of that team. And Pete Carroll.
He is so Seattle.
I can't see Pete Carroll letting him out of a situation. He is an organization flipper if he goes anywhere. I just can't imagine. They brought in a new offensive coordinator to appease him because he's been sacked. But 43 times averaged in the last 4 years. They're trying their best to appease him much more than Deshaun Watson being appeased by the Texans. It'd be hard to think of him leaving.
Rob, how many teams do the Royals finish ahead of this year in the AL Central? So they ain't beating out the Twins, right?
2.
They ain't beating out the White Sox.
They finished 3rd. I think Cleveland has given us every indication they're not trying to win this season. They've sold off their best player for pennies on the dollar. I think they're in rebuild. And the Tigers are in a perpetual rebuild. So 3rd should be where they finish, and they should be held to the expectation of 3rd.
Yesterday on Fesco in the morning, Ryan Witkowski said that Dippin' Dots were nasty. I almost broke my radio right then and there. Bank, are Dippin' Dots great or nasty?
They're outstanding.
Thank you. Rob?
I mean, they're fine.
What
I don't
technology.
I don't dislike them. I think part of the allure of Dippin' Dots is you get them at cool places. It's kind of the same with the
that's in true.
And
you
out
can
point.
Only get them at Worlds and Fun and
like
Kaufman.
No one's ever been like, I'm sitting at home, I'm gonna watch the game and get some Dippin' Dots. No, you're gonna be like at a game, at Worlds of Fun, at the Renaissance Fair or wherever you go, you're like, oh, Dippin' Dots, awesome.
Can you
why
get them
is
at the
that?
Grocery
why
store?
Is that?
Because the Dippin' Dots knows the allure is you sell them someplace where they're 10 times their market value, you make more money.
They are a ripoff, but they're pretty good.
Ryan, ice cream dots.
Ryan made a good point, though. He said that every time that you bite into them, it tastes like freezer burn. Like individually, everyone would be like, they have freezer burn. And he's kind of right about that. I mean, he makes a decent point there. Who's had the better career, Bink? Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, or Drew Brees?
Career-wise, you'd have to go Brees with the career numbers.
Do you want records or do you want rings?
The rings would be Ben, but records would be Drew Brees.
Isn't that crazy? And I agree with you. Do you have Rodgers third, too?
Yeah, I guess. I don't put that much stock into rings when it's one versus two. I think Rodgers had a better career than Ben, but like it's pretty negligible to me. I think Brees is the obvious answer.
Tom Brady said that he's open to playing past the age of 45. How much longer do you really think Tom Brady plays?
I don't know. Every year I think he's done.
Me too.
I thought he was done after that AFC title game. I thought that was going to be a swan song going to the Super Bowl. But they didn't do it. Stayed around. He's like a cockroach. Just never going to go away.
It's all about pliability or whatever his nonsense workout regimen tells you to do.
But I know he can't hold a drink.
No, I mean, that's true.
Like
we know
he is
that.
Not to go to that.
Yeah, but he's a New Year's Eve drinker at this point in his life. He gets drunk probably once a year.
Man,
he's
bad.
He does have that thing in his workout plan where he says if you drink enough water, it's impossible to get sunburned. So he's kind of a lunatic.
Is that true?
No, there's no science to support that.
I don't think that's true at all.
He in TB12, he says that, but there's no science
what
to support it.
What are you talking
it.
About?
No, I'm kidding. I kid you not. Look up TB12 and their diet, and it will say if you drink enough water, you will not get a sunburn.
Thank you, doctor. Which team upgraded the most at quarterback this offseason? And you can't say Trevor Lawrence to the Jags because we haven't really seen that yet. It looks like Zach Wilson's going to be the second overall pick. I just assumed it was going to be Justin Fields.
Zach Wilson, and we're finally seeing comparisons to Mahomes.
Maybe that's the Wilson they wanted you to talk about. Talk about him.
Or Isaiah Wilson from the Titans. But I think Zach Wilson, that's the one comparison. Some scout, I think it was Benjamin Albright or somebody tweeted it out.
Sure.
Or Matt Miller, I think, was talking about. That's the only Mahomes comparison I've heard with these young quarterbacks coming out from BYU. Zach Wilson's a stud, though. You look at the AFC, and you have Lawrence, and you're going to have Zach Wilson in the AFC. Justin Fields probably and Mac Jones in the NFC. But, man, he could make a huge difference with the Jets.
I'd say Stafford to the Rams. I mean, Stafford, I feel like that makes him a much better team.
I think wherever Deshaun Watson ends up will be the winner in this sweepstakes.
Oh, for sure.
It's not determined at this point.
For sure. If that happens, I mean, if anybody lands Deshaun Watson, a 25-year-old top-five quarterback, that makes you instantly.
I think this is a TBD, so to speak, Ravine.
No, I'm with you. I think that it's very interesting to see what happens with both Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, because if for whatever reason those guys go to another team, they instantly make that team competitive, if not really good. I mean, what if the Colts, who were not that far away, would have ended up getting a Deshaun Watson or a Russell Wilson? That would have made them the second best team in the AFC. Now, they were never going to get Deshaun Watson because that would be an interdivision trade. But it feels like there are a couple of teams that are only a quarterback away, and those quarterbacks are actually out there this offseason.
Yeah. They moved Wentz better than Carr, so I like that decision better for them that they did that.
Don't forget St. Patrick Mahomes Day coming up on St. Patrick's Day. So that would be the 17th of March. And the T-shirt, Bink, have you gone to the website and checked out the T-shirt yet?
Yeah, been on the website, voted on my top play.
Do we get the T-shirt for working here or not? Do we know?
Unfortunately, Rob, they didn't have your size. So
they don't have large?
Everybody else gets one. No, sorry, buddy. They did have one large, but it's for me. And then they've got the, double X?
Oh, yeah.
They have the double X for Binkley. Keep going. It's a dope shirt, though. Of all the 3,000 different patches. What are you, 3, 4? You're not a 5.
Just stop.
That's not a real thing.
No.
You're not a 5X. Get the hell out of here. So actually, the problem is, Rob, we had it large, but there were only two of them, and they had to cut it in the middle and tape it together for Jay. So that's what happened to yours. Stay tuned. Don't forget.
Machine.
You can actually be entertained coming up next with Good Radio as Josh Vernier takes over. Vern's got his hot stove, and you're about 15 minutes away from hearing from Daniel Lynch, so don't go anywhere. Daniel Lynch, Rob's new BFF, is going to join Vern coming up at 6:05. Thank you, Binkley. Had a lot of fun with
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Machine.
Rob, as always, bang up job. I'm merely the sports machine, Sean Levine, signing off on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.